in the spring that turn from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet.
7 minutes after the hour, welcome to this week's edition of the American Family Farmer podcast. You can find at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. Every week, there are lots of tidbits of news from the food and farm, the elements that are most in focus here, the family farm and the family farmer, farmer-owned businesses, the locavores that eat our products. When I say ours, I am a dairy guy, dairy farm, and so my focus has been all of my life cows, raising cows and replacement heifers, and having at one point 500 jerseys on my farm, milking a couple of hundred, selling raw milk on my farm, that sort of thing. This is the era in which people who do what I do are not respected necessarily. And that's what got me to do this program. I started this program almost 3 years ago now and have covered hundreds of different areas of inclusion when it comes to trying to get ways to help people who are on the farm figure out how to solve their problems. So in a few minutes, we're going to meet Jackie Allenbrand, who has started a program called Farm Dog USA, P-H-A-R-M, Farm Dog, which stands for Pets Helping Agriculture in Rural Missouri. Fascinating story from she and her husband, so we'll get to that in a few moments. First, some food news of interest. Costco is now offering same-day grocery delivery. There's a lesson in here for all of us who are local farmers. Is there a delivery mechanism in your future? If you have a CSA on your farm, is there a way for you to work with others? I know in my area, there are people who are buying milk. Milk to a point, but I think produce, there are meats and that sort of thing that get delivered to the organic farm, which is actually right next door to me here. The truck comes in, and everybody every week gets their allotment of food, and meats and poultry and that sort of thing. But it's delivered. And then they deliver, the people in the neighborhood come in and pick it up, but they also deliver to some of the homes that are not quite on the beaten path. So I wonder if we're going that way all across the board, the boxes and that sort of thing. The company is called Costco Grocery, providing same-day delivery for fresh food and produce through a partnership with a company called Instacart. Two-day delivery for dry goods, even. They charge for delivery if you buy less than $75 worth of food. And so if you want it in 2 hours, you'll get it, according to Costco. So is this what we as farmers should be doing? Should we be delivering? That's why I brought this up. The question is, should we be delivering our product? We love it when people come to the farm, and people, the locavores, love to come to see how the food is grown, have the farm experience, go pick the raspberries, do whatever. But there are increasingly people who will only buy whether it's food or anything else, if the stuff is delivered. So I wonder how that figures into your equation for the future. Certainly is worth thinking about, is it not? I think it is anyway. If you listen to my weekday program, the DJV show, you know that I'm frequently a critic of the world of journalism. I don't think journalists, people who call themselves journalists, are anywhere near as qualified in the main as they used to be. So there is an investigation going on by a couple of journalists into farmers' markets. And I'm putting a little bit of a question mark around it, even though I think that this is something that is a problem. I'm not sure I believe all the things that are in this article about this particular farmer's market. Basically, the writer of the story found the produce was neither fresh nor local, and the seasonality of foods is something that comes into play here. That's why I'm wondering about the credibility, because I go to farmers markets in California all year long. You can go, they have a farmers market everywhere because the weather allows them to grow fresh produce all year long. Here in Massachusetts, where I live during the good weather months, we have farmers markets from beginning of May until usually around Thanksgiving. And that's about it, because the stuff if it's going to be sold, isn't going to be fresh, and it isn't going to be local. And isn't that what you have in mind? When you go to a farmer's market, don't you think you're getting fresh local produce, unless it's described otherwise? Now, some of the markets I go to in California, for example, the Santa Monica Sunday Market, you know there are people from Northern California who brought their products up. And so sometimes it's not like local, but it is California. And with the seasonality of foods in certain parts of the country, the parts of the country that are having these farmers markets year-round, hello, look at the products, that's all. The tags indicate the food is not local. So my advice here in understanding how this all works is to do your research. If you're a locavore, if you're looking for fresh food, look at the stickers, talk to the farmers, find out if they're bringing their produce to this particular market. If they aren't, then you're probably getting stuff that isn't what you think it is. And on that note, I have a continuing suspicion about the label organic, even though organic food purchases are on the rise. In fact, half of the consumers in our country say that they are more likely to purchase fresh produce when they're buying organic, but are they the same? And the answer is no. There are all kinds of labels that are being used: fresh, organic, local, natural, all of this stuff. And you don't really know sometimes. I think people get confused. For me, I prefer local, knowing that it was grown right here and there, even to organic. If I can find organic local, that's what I do. If I cannot find organic local and I can find local, that's what I do. Organic to me is an almost meaningless term. The government has followed up the real value by letting the big corporate ag businesses in to basically water down, literally and figuratively, what comes from the organic options. But consumers say, 34%, as a matter of fact, in this survey that I'm looking at, say that they want to buy organic foods. And that's a big jump. But in some cases, like 41% say they want meat and poultry to be organically produced, and dairy as well. The major deterrents to buying organic foods are the price and skepticism over its whether it's real or not, whether it's authentic. And I think that you can hang that one on the government. 39% of consumers who said their total food purchases are at least half organic. 21% of consumers agree that organic foods are worth the extra cost. Most Americans, 62%, likely to say they would purchase more organic foods if they were less expensive. Well, they can't be less expensive because it takes more, it costs more. This is the other thing about understanding who's buying what here, because we have a lot of cheap food in our country, and people are used to buying cheap food. So that's what they prefer. Okay, swell. You prefer cheap food? You're not going to get it if you want organic. Real organic food costs a lot to grow and produce. So don't think you're going to be, and that's not fair to the farmer to be always jazzing them around. I know that as far as dairy farmers are concerned. They get a $10, $12, $14 premium per hundredweight for organic milk because people want it. And there's good reason for that, because the stuff that comes out of the normal bottle of milk or a carton of milk is crap. Processed to the nth degree, food value's gone, taste is gone, everything is gone. So, and in my experience, organic milk is worth it. I think all of it is, if you can be sure that it really is organic. And that's the if. All right, so some food news as part of the American Family Farmer. Ideas for those of you who are trying to figure out how to compete. We'll meet in a moment Jackie Allenbrand and find out just how pets are helping agriculture. Let me talk about nitric oxide for a moment. Nitric oxide, one of the most important molecules in your body, the third most important gas in your body. It promotes healthy circulation, gets the oxygen and nutrients flowing all over your body, and helps to support healthy blood pressure, which you all need. We all, in order to live long, happy, healthy lives, got to have good, strong blood pressure. Go to DougLikesBeets.com to order Super Beets and get all the benefits. DougLikesBeets.com. All right, let's get to know Jackie Allenbrand from farmdog.org, PHARMDOG.org. A pleasure to have you here, Jackie. And I say that not knowing you, but all the things that I've heard about you from various people make me happy that I'm able to tell this story with you. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you this morning.
All right. So, farm dog, where did the idea come from?
Well, I was working with some farmers at a farm show, and one had a partial leg amputation. He was sharing with me how his dog helped him so much on the farm. And we use dogs on our farm as well with our cattle, and kind of got to thinking, well, why don't we do some more detailed training and to just meet the farmers' needs? And that's kind of how the ball got rolling on the idea behind Farm Dog.
Just, are you training? Are you training the dogs or are you training the owners?
Well, we do a little bit of both. You know, you can't place a dog with a farmer without them knowing the commands and how they work as well. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of both.
Is this a program similar to what the military has in turning these dogs, some of them, into spectacular and wonderful help to the people that are in the line of fire? Is this the same kind of thing, only we are aiming to help the farmer instead of the soldier?
Well, it's similar in that we're doing detailed training to meet a specific need, and that is a need of a farmer. We use border collies to help with livestock purposes. That's actually our largest request, is to help with livestock. And then we use Labradors, saved from shelters, and train them with what we call service skills, such as retrieving tools and carrying buckets, and trained one to even open a gate. Just anything to save some time and energy for a farmer dealing with a illness or injury or some sort of disability, so they can use that energy elsewhere on the farm. Their four-legged farmhand helps them out.
Well, the four-legged farmhand has always been, since I was a kid, been around cows all my life. The dogs never, though. I'm trying to think. I had a bulldog for 14 years, and she was a character with the cows. It really was. But she wasn't. The bulldogs are herders by nature, but they're too small to really have any real impact. The way that this thing works is fabulous. We'll talk about it. Hold on a second. Jackie Allenbrand here. Jackie Allenbrand is with me. I'm Doug Steffen. This is the American Family Farmer, Pets Helping Agriculture in Rural Areas, Rural Missouri. That's what farmers, that's where you started. But you are placing these dogs. You're helping people from other areas in the country, are you not, Jackie?
Well, we're hoping to. Mm-hmm. We have placed a dog with a farmer in Nebraska. And we're a small group of farmers ourselves, nonprofit, of course, no mm-hmm. corporate sponsorship behind us. And we are limited sometimes in how far out we can travel right now, but we're in the process of hopefully helping more and expanding out to other states.
All right. So you have a farm yourself where you train these people, correct? Not these people, these dogs. You train the owners too, your farmers. Yeah. They all come to your
right.
farm?
No, they actually don't all come here to the farm. What we do is we have a border collie trainer in Plattsburgh, Missouri, and we have a border collie trainer in Packwood, Iowa. And I also have some ladies that help me on the service side of things. And what we do is if a farmer is interested, they contact us on our website or phone, and we find out a little bit about what they're dealing with, what type of disability or injury they're dealing with, and find out what their needs are. Then we train the dog for their needs and what could help them the most. Then what we do is a little bit different, is we try to travel to the farm. It's difficult, as you know, for a farmer to get off the farm
yep.
for a period of time. So we try to go to the farm and get the dog adjusted to its new surroundings and to, like we said before, work with the farmer and train them also with the commands so they know how to work with the dog. We don't want to leave a dog there that's going to be a hassle for them. We want them to be helpful. So that's what we do, is we find out the information, we train for that need. If we can't train for a specific need, we'll be honest and say we just can't do that. But we try to offer other resources if we can. So going to the farm is important to us because we know, like I said, how difficult it is to get off the farm because there's always something to do.
All right. So where do you find these dogs? Are you finding them, or do sometimes farmers bring a dog to you and say, please train this dog so that he or she will help me better on the farm? Which is the more preferred way of doing it?
Well, what we do is, you know, we've had some people say, can we bring our own dog and you train it? And we usually say we prefer not to do that because an existing dog sometimes has developed bad habits already, and we may not be able to work through those. So we like to start working with a younger dog. The Border Collie trainers that we have, they're both on the farm as well. And when we need a litter of Border Collie pups, we plan that out. And they supply the pups for the program. And then as far as the Labradors or the Lab Mixes, we try to work with shelters or rescues that have those that have passed the temperament test and can work with us. And we try to find the younger, the better. You know, if you get past a year old or so, you're starting to get into some problems that they've already developed some bad habits. So try to work with them as pups if we can.
Yeah, that makes sense. I understand what you're saying and how that would work. It makes a good sense. Well, the animals, the dogs, they mostly work with animals. What other uses do they have beside herding cattle or pigs or whatever it may be that's on the farm? What else do you use these for?
Well, we use the Border Collies just strictly for the herding purposes, you know, sitting in the gate and gathering, herding, sorting out. We use the Labradors for mobility purposes. They wear a harness that will help the farmer to walk on a farm's rough terrain. We have them carry buckets, retrieve tools. If you're working on something and you left your hammer at another location, you can send the dog to go get the hammer and bring it to you, where that saves you some steps. You know, again, we're talking about farmers dealing with a disability, so that energy level can be used elsewhere on the farm, and you can have your four-legged farmhand help you out in those ways. We've taught a dog to go ahead.
I want to talk a little bit. We'll pause for a couple of moments here. I want to talk about the farmers with disabilities, specifically what we're working on. I guess I never thought about this as a category of farmer, but, you know, it's part of society. They're all sorts of disabilities for people in general, so why wouldn't they be on the farm? So I want to dig into that a little bit more to help people coming up with ideas on how to use these farm dogs at farmdog.org. 28 past the hour.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. I scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is if we call bicycles bikes and tricycles trikes, shouldn't we call motorcycles mics? Maybe a bunch of guys named Mike teamed up and put a stop to it.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
Brian bringing us back into another conversation, qualified information about a really interesting program. I'm Doug Steffen with Jackie Allenbrand, who started the Farm Dog USA program in rural Missouri. FARM stands for Pets Helping Agriculture in Rural Missouri. She and her husband have used dogs on their farm, working the cattle, as you can imagine. But the program has also found I think purpose, I guess, is the best word for it, Jackie, in 4-H programs. Yes, would you be able to teach young kids or younger people who are interested in coming along how to do this? You said you can't do it all yourself. So how about training some of the dogs with some of the younger farmers coming along and sort of match them up? Maybe it would be a way of people finding jobs. I just actually thought of that, wondering whether that's practical.
Sure. We used to have, in 2010, we started working with some FFA students in being what we called puppy raisers. and we had a litter of border collie pups, and we had them use their ads similar to their SAE project, their supervised ag experience, and they raised the puppy for us for a year, and they worked with us, gathered together and worked with on commands and just socializing. And then they had to give them back, of course, after a year, which is the hard part.
Sure.
To release it after you get bonded with that dog. But they knew that it was for a good cause. It was going to be trained for a farmer dealing with a disability. And, of course, that makes them feel good that they had a part in that. So,
yeah. Let's talk some about the farmers themselves with disabilities, farmers who maybe lost a leg, an amputation. We know there are accidents on the farm. I've seen plenty of farmers with one arm. We've all experienced, because the farming business can be dangerous, and equipment sometimes isn't respected, and there are accidents that happen on the farm. So what's the typical sort of disability that you encounter where the dogs are going to be the most helpful?
Well, I'll give you some examples of dogs we've placed with farmers. The dog that we placed out in Nebraska was a border collie. He was placed with a gentleman that is paralyzed from the chest down. He was injured in an auto accident. And when he came to us, you know, he said, the cattle aren't respecting me. I'm sitting down lower in my wheelchair, and I need something that will assist me to move the cattle, get them from point A to point B and sort, those sorts of things. So that was a partnership that has worked out well. We've placed a dog with a woman that is legally blind. It is not a guide dog. She does have some sort of vision still, but she wanted to be more independent, feel helpful to her husband on the farm with their cow-calf operation. So she had been run over by a bull before several years ago. So one of her things was, please train the dog to watch the gates while I'm helping, you know, feed. So she is helpful to her on the farm in being independent, can help her husband out. We have another lady that has lupus, low energy level. She was constantly getting run over by her sheep when she would go out to carry the buckets of feed. And we trained a dog for her named Sue. And as soon as Sue came along, the sheep parted the ways, and Sheila could get in there and feed without being knocked over every morning. So yeah, there's a variety of disabilities that are out there. Of course, arthritis is the most common one, but there are people dealing with all sorts of autoimmune disorders and, like you said before, amputations, those sorts of things.
It's society. It's a reflection of society. I noticed that in one of the articles that highlighted what the farm dog program is all about, that some of the recipients are depressed. And there is that we, you know, in terms of what maybe a disability is, people are, if they're by themselves, I know some older farmers who by themselves live literally by themselves, and the dogs may be helpful on the farm, but they're also helpful and wonderful as companions, aren't they? I would have thought they become friends.
Yes, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I always say we train the dog to help physically, but they can also help emotionally as well. If a farmer has just gone through an accident or dealing with an illness, you know, they've got to sometimes find other ways to farm, and there's a change, and that can sometimes lead to depression and feelings of anxiety. And you're right, a dog is a good companion. A dog has to get up and be fed and taken out, and the farmer has to get up and do those things. I had one farmer that went through chemotherapy, and his dog stayed with him the whole time through the sickness.
How dangerous is this, would you say, in terms of the jobs the dogs have? All animals. I was on a farm the other day that specializes in helping save equine. It's amazing to see what you can do. Some of these farms that are sanctuaries for animals, and how they help them in many different ways. But I wonder about using them in those sorts of facilities as well.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure how that would go there. It could be a possibility, but you know, on a farm, there's, of course, equipment and livestock, and there's a lot of dangerous things that are a part of it. And we train the dogs to get used to those sounds and of a tractor and equipment, and we don't get them close to those. We have trained a dog to get up in the cab of a tractor so that it can go down the steps and be at the end of the steps, so that when the farmer comes down the steps, he has the dog there as a balance, sort of like a four-legged walking cane, I guess you could say, you know, needed that support. So, there's a lot of dangers on the farm, of course, but we train them to get used to those sounds and be around the livestock, and then help them adjust when they go to their new location as well.
How expensive is it to do this?
Well, it is not cheap, but we are a little bit different in that we have only had one farmer actually pay for a dog when we were in our beginning stages, worked with another organization, and they paid that organization for the dog. But as we've developed more so, what we ask the farmer to do is to make a donation to us so that we can start helping another farmer. If we were to calculate up all the hours and the time and medications and food and all of that going into a service dog, you're looking at about a $5,000 to $6,000 dog. And,
wow,
you know, yeah. And that's on the cheap end. But
really?
I went to the Farm Progress show in Decatur, Illinois a few months ago. There was a family that stopped there and visited, and they were getting a dog trained, not from us, another organization, for low blood sugar alert. And that dog cost $50,000.
Whoa! Wow.
that's
probably worth it under the circumstances.
It makes
lot of sense to do this if it's done right. Good heavens, yeah.
Yes.
But that's,
yes, you know, health is important. So, yes, but that was a little shocking to me. But what we do is, you know, we think, farmers dealing with an illness or injury, there's always something to pay for on the farm. And the people that need dogs the most don't always have extra money to do that sort of thing. But what we do is we want the farmers to be able to make some sort of donation so we can just pay it forward and help another farmer. And our trainers don't receive salaries. That's one thing that makes us a little bit, we say either dumb or determined, we say determined. We want to help other farmers because we know what that's like. So,
All right, let's conclude our conversation with Jackie Allenbrand in a moment. This is fascinating stuff. Farm Dog USA. The website is farmdog, farmdog.org. And inspiration, maybe other people can learn through you and start organizations like this in their area of the country, because it certainly serves a need. That's one of the reasons that you're here. 44 past the hour on the American Family Farmer. I want to talk about what's going on in your body, the nutrients that are there. Farmers need energy. They need strength. They need to be able to block free radical damage that comes from being out in the sun a lot. In order to do that, you got to have a strong immune system. So if you don't, here's a way. This maybe seems silly to talk about this to farmers who are growing their own produce, but you can't, for the most part, unless you're in California, grow your own produce 12 months a year. So this is for people who are not able to do that. If you are, you know, we hear all the time, and we sell it, we use these terms when we're selling to our patrons. If we're selling all kinds of vegetables on our produce farm, then we want them to buy broccoli and cabbage and carrots and onions and spinach and cauliflower and celery and garlic and kale and that sort of thing. Well, you can find all of those things in a capsule now, grown on great farms by the folks at the core product, as a matter of fact, that comes from Balance of Nature, are the fruits and vegetables that you can get in cabbage. It sounds like it could be the antithesis of what farming is all about, but it really isn't. This is health personified. And I think that because farmers oftentimes, we start early in the morning and we work all day long, sometimes you need a little extra immune system and if you can't get all of these things, whether it's the zucchini, I'm looking at some of the things that are in the fruit capsule, pineapple, apples, bananas, blueberries, cherries, grapes, grapefruit, mangoes, lemons, oranges, strawberries, raspberries, that sort of thing. So there are two different types of supplements here, fruits and vegetables, all natural, 100% pure from balanceofnature.com. So if you're not getting all of the servings that are recommended every day, spend 22 cents a day on these capsules. They come in a bottle, 30-day supply, and you go online to balanceofnature.com/DJV, and use that promo code, and you get a free month supply using that code as you get started. The immune system needs to be as strong as possible to do your work. Improve it by up to 700%. That's what happens when you're taking the right amount of fruits and vegetables every day. If you can't get them fresh every day, you need these. You want these. You must have them. Get them now at balanceofnature.com/DJV. Yep. Free month supply, balanceofnature.com. Use the code DJV. All right. Back to our conversation here on the American Family Farmer with Jackie Allenbrand, Farm Dog USA. This is a program that ought to be expanded, it seems to me. I just think that this is a fabulous way to help people. You know, we have all these stories all the time, Jackie, about people staying on the farm. The average farmer is 56 or something. Youngsters aren't coming along. So I wonder what beginning farmers, what stories you might have of success with them, because I think we've been focused on disabilities and that sort of thing. We think of disabilities as applying to older farmers. What about younger farmers?
Well, actually, the gentleman that's in the wheelchair was in his 30s when we placed the dog with him, and one of our ladies was in her 30s as well. But we haven't really had any youngsters, I guess, teenagers in their 20s, that sort of thing, that have requested a dog. Did meet a young man at Husker Harvest Days in Nebraska earlier in last month, and may have some interest there in training a dog to help him with mobility purposes after he had an accident.
So. Could a blind farmer use one of these dogs?
Well, I want to say that we'll work with someone that's visually impaired, but we are not guide dog trainers.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, example I gave you earlier is she is legally blind but still does have some vision. So a person
right,
that is
you did say that. I wonder if completely blind. Yeah.
Right. If someone was completely blind, we would probably refer them to another organization, just, you know, for safety purposes.
Right. Yeah. What's been the most? We got about a minute left here, a little less. What's been the most exciting part of this for you?
Well, meeting all the different people that I've met and hearing their stories. And seeing their successes. And I hope someday that we can help more farmers across the United States to get that corporate sponsorship. Maybe we can do it. So.
Well, I'm pleased and honored to have had the ability to share this story with so many people who listen to this program. Jackie Allenbrand, check out that website for your own use, farmdog, pharmdog.org. Jackie, thank you. After the hour, this is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen with an observation, a rather disturbing one, which I will share with you after this.
Combines cutting in a staggered line. This report is brought to you by Sodexo. Is Generation Z the most anxious generation yet? According to the 2017 University Lifestyle Survey conducted by Sodexo, current and incoming university students are more concerned about the uncertainty of their futures than previous generations. They are not only apprehensive about mounting student loan debt and other forms of financial liability, but also about securing a job after graduation and maintaining a good quality of life. The survey further shows that Generation Z has different priorities when choosing a university than past generations. Jim Jenkins, CEO, Universities East, Sodexo North America.
Universities need to highlight the best qualities of their campus atmosphere in order to appeal to prospective students. 83% of students consider a friendly campus more important than a university's reputation, and 62% consider the campus tour more influential than their parents' advice. The results of this survey will help change the way universities educate and accommodate their students now and in the future.
For more information, visit www.sodexo.com.
I'm Doug Steffen with this comment. I have heard lately about more racial violence than I care to talk about. I never thought, I guess, actually, that I would ever talk about this on a program like this. But because I saw in my local farm paper the story about the owners of a farm in Vermont experiencing racism front and center, the Jasper Hill Farm found swastikas and racial epithets spray-painted on a barn on their farm. The investigation by the Vermont State Police indicated there had been other places where people had targeted farms with racial epithets, sexually explicit images on farms that had barns on roadways next to big highways. But there have been a string of incidents this year where tensions over migrant farm workers have been high. We know since the election, even before the election, that illegal immigration being a big problem on the farm, getting people to work on the farm, we all know. Many of you have illegals on your farm. I get it. I know that. The arrest and detention of immigrants and their immigrant rights activists that are appearing all over the place. One of them worked on a dairy farm in New York, and that made national headlines. I remember seeing that story. Recently, a Vermont farmer who does contract manure spreading, custom harvesting, was charged after being accused of deliberately spraying manure on a Customs and Border Protection car. Remember I told you that story and how the judge dismissed it? But there are other farmers who have gotten themselves into trouble because they don't like the proximity of some of these people from the government coming onto their farms and inspecting the workforce. So what do we do? What do we do? I found in this day and age, there are farmers who have straight people, gay people, trans people, immigrants, you name it. People who come from all parts of the world who are working on farms all over the place. There are farmers who are offering a $1,000 reward for the arrest of the vandals, and some of these people who work on the other side are putting up $1,000 or $2,000 to find farms, get people to rat, if that's the right word, on farmers who have illegal immigrants so they can deport them. I find this troubling because maybe as a kid or just being a farmer, I think that we're a different lot than the average, and I don't want us to go down that road. I don't want to see us go down that road. But it is a sign of the times, and it is a disturbing reality on farms where there is more of a focus on people who may be taking jobs from Americans. You can hear in my voice, I'm troubled by it. I saw a circumstance. There was this story in Vermont, one in New Hampshire, one down in Louisiana, where the same kind of stuff going on. I don't know, even worse down in Louisiana, because I say this with a certain amount of respect. In the South, these problems are more obvious than they are in the North, or at least you think that's the case. Maybe that's my own prejudice, and yet coming from the Boston area, Boston's one of the most racist places on the planet. So I guess I shouldn't be thinking that if you go to Louisiana, there's going to be more of a problem than there is in Vermont. But something to be aware of anyway. So I thought I would tell you those stories that related to this. There's no excuse for this kind of stuff, though. No excuse for it at all, in my opinion. And that's why I give you my opinion on my little portion of this podcast every week called The American Family Farmer. Check it out at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com.